This podcast is brought to you by Custom Plan Financial Advisors, Inc., an independent insurance managing general agency in Canada. Financialpodcast.ca was developed with one goal in mind, to educate Canadians on important topics that affect their financial well-being and make it readily available to all. We welcome you to plug in and learn with us. If you have questions, please email us at contact@financialpodcast.ca.
Good day, everyone. Welcome to Financial Podcast. My name is Darlene, and I'm your host. Today, we're excited to welcome back Natalie Eunice as our guest. You might remember Natalie from an earlier podcast we did about taxes. Her enthusiasm for helping people understand this onerous responsibility was refreshing for me. Today, we're going to be talking about something important for this time of year, and that's the importance of being prepared to file your tax returns. Natalie has been a tax professional for over 25 years and holds a number of designations. Welcome back, Natalie, and thank you for coming back to us today and talking about such a timely and important subject.
Hello, it's awesome to be back.
Well, we're excited to have you. I've never met anybody as enthusiastic about taxes as you. But before we start on that, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself for our new listeners?
I have been in tax for many, many years, 25 years, and of course, I'm a 25-year-old person with 25 years of experience.
Of course you are.
Yes, I'm very, very passionate about taxes because many people are so afraid of them, and there is really nothing to be afraid. It doesn't bite, and there are a lot to be gained if you know taxes. There's a lot to be gained by asking questions. So I welcome your questions. I welcome the ability to bring my knowledge to all of you. And I really do hope to be able to help you all comply with your tax obligations.
Well, thank you, Natalie. This is going to be good information. And you can tell my thoughts on taxes when I describe them as onerous. So I'll be happy to listen to your advice. So to start us off, why is it important to be prepared for filing your tax returns?
Well, this is because Canada Revenue Agency has some information on you. Usually it's more of a income information on you. If you submit wrong information, you may either A, be audited and get on a blacklist, not a blacklist, but not a good list with CRA. Or alternatively, you can miss some deductions and therefore overpay tax. Who wants to do that? So it's very, very important to be prepared so that you make sure that you pay the appropriate amount of tax.
That's good advice. And I agree. Many people like me, don't even like thinking about taxes. And to alleviate the stress and negativity associated with this topic, and I'm not helping it, I know. When, in your opinion, is the best time to start thinking about taxes?
Well, yesterday would be good. The day before yesterday is excellent. Today is a very, very good day to do it. In fact, any day during the year, you can encounter a situation where you get documents that will be useful for your tax in the future. That means that you need some kind of organizational structure to make sure you don't lose them. So for example, today I made a donation to United Way. I made a $100 donation and they will send me a slip next year or maybe next month. Some organizations send it pretty fast. Some people send it in February of next year. So missing this slip would mean that I will not be able to take a deduction for the charitable donation that I made, which also means that, you will overpay tax. If you take this document and save it somewhere, you would be assured of taking that deduction, making sure that you have all of the documents ready.
That's good advice. So you're saying save it somewhere like on your computer or where?
You could keep a folder. You could have a folder, like a file folder of all documents. You could put your property tax bill, medical receipts, donation, professional fees, all slips that come through. You could just put them throughout the year into that folder and have them ready. Alternatively, you could use my portal, which I designed specifically for this, where you can take a photo of that slip and just upload it throughout the year. Then at the end of the year, you, voila, you have all of the slips ready. And just in case, if I didn't mention it yet, my portal is taxwelldone.com. I hope it's easy to remember, taxwelldone.
Well, I think it probably is. It seems pretty straightforward. So I can definitely see the benefits of viewing tax planning as an everyday activity, but not everyone, no names included, darling, is going to look at it this way or act in a manner like that. For a person who's just starting to think about their taxes, what should be the first step in preparing for filing their tax returns?
So nobody likes to think about their taxes. Preparing your tax return is like the last favorite activity, at par with watching paint dry. Tax filing really is your statement or affidavit of sorts to the government of your income and expenses. If you're well organized and prepared throughout the year, you're absolutely ready and you alleviate all the stress and you alleviate all of the possible mistakes that can happen.
Yeah, I can see that, because if you're doing it all at the last minute, you could easily forget something, overlook something. And yeah, so there's definitely advantages. So what would be the next step?
I would highly recommend you to just sit down at one point in time and gather your personal information. Of course, you know your social insurance number, but do you know the social insurance number of your spouse or dependents? And if you want, you might want to jot it down along with other information that your tax preparer is likely to need. For example, if you own a vacation home or a rental property, note their addresses with zip codes and all of the information. If you sold property in past year, note the dates you bought and sold, the amount you originally paid, and how much you received from the sale. It's very, very important to have these items. I call them tax touches. So little tax events that took place during the year. It's very important to keep them in mind because years blend in. By the time you file your, let's say, 2020 tax return, it's already April 2021. Do you really remember what happened in January 2020? But it is still relevant and important. What I also recommend is to have a look at your last year's tax return. Of course, if you use the same preparer as last year, he or she will already have your tax return. But if you're switching, it is an indicator to the new person if you missed something, because we can see, oh, last year they had a T5 for interest and this year they don't. Did they dispose of the interest bearing security, or what happened? Am I just missing a slip? So it's very important to sit down and just think wholeheartedly what transpired during this year.
Yeah, and I think probably for 2020, there's probably going to be a lot of challenging tax returns out there, just based on how everything happened. So it's probably, like you said, a good idea to start preparing yesterday or 2 days ago would have been good, but the sooner you start, the better. So when can people expect to start receiving documents? I know you sort of touched on it with charities, but you know, with the other type of documents, when can people start expecting to receive them?
That's an excellent, excellent question. Most slips are due before February 28th. And note that I say most, because some slips are due on March 31st. You should remember one thing, and this is very important this year. The slips are mailed to the last known address. So this is the last address that organization has on file for you. So if you moved, you may be missing this information because they mailed it to your old address. It is very, very important to change your address as soon as you move so that the people or your whoever is issuing, bank or your employer, will send it to the right address.
That's a good point. Which slips would come on March, like by, or are due on March 31st compared to the slips that are due on February 28th?
So generally, your donation slips, RRSP, T4s, which is your employment income, your interest, like T5 slip, would be due February 28th. But then there are trust returns. So that would be your mutual funds or some kind of other investments in other more complex structures. Generally, they're reported on a form called T3, and those are due March 31st. You also, if you have some investments in US, your forms 1099 DIV or 1099 INT may come later, because even if they're mailed in February, it usually takes Canada Post quite some time to deliver. So generally, you should be receiving all of your documents by the end of March.
Okay, so what happens if somebody doesn't receive all of their slips?
Happens all the time. Every single year, I get somebody who says, oh, I forgot this one, or I didn't receive this one. When you're filing your tax return, you're required to do your best to collect all information, all slips, to ensure that your tax return is based on complete information. So the onus is on you, on the taxpayer, on the individual, for completeness of information. To be honest with you, the easiest way to get your slips is to log on to CRA My Account. This is a portal with CRA where you can download all of the slips that are posted with your social insurance number. So it is a very, very handy portal or site that CRA is running. My only word of caution with that is some slips are issued without a social insurance number. It often has to do with security of information and a few other things. So please remember that if your social insurance number doesn't appear on the slip, it may not be posted, but you are still liable to show it on your tax return.
Oh, so that sort of answers my next question. Like, what if, so let's say you have an employer that's really old school and does everything by paper copy and, you know, gives the T4s, you know, paper copy, and they haven't, CRA hasn't received all of those documents.
They still receive all documents.
Okay, so would so let's say the employer submits their slip as a hard copy print copy. Can the employee, you know, at some later date download their copy of it electronically? Does it work that way?
Yes, exactly. So even if it's an old school employer, usually it's a smaller company, they will send it on paper. CRA will actually key in. So there will be an individual who will key in all of those slips into the system. If your social insurance appears on a document, it will be in the system. But there are certain situations. It's usually having to do with specific slips, usually T4As, that sometimes may not have your social insurance number. And the biggest section of documents would be the deductions. Practically none of your deductions would have a social insurance number. So this is why it's very, very important to keep all documents. So let's think about your property tax bill. There is no social insurance number on it. So Canada Revenue Agency will never know how much you pay for property tax until you actually show it on your tax return. And the same is with tuition, the same is with your medical receipts. So usually deductions are the ones that are missing from that site. Income in most cases will be there.
Okay. So what are some of the other benefits of My Account on the CRA website?
It's a wonderful tool that CRA offers. I was thrilled when they implemented it good 5 or maybe 10 years ago already. So it is very, very convenient. It's very intuitive, very easy. It's available 7 days a week, 21 hours a day. So they leave every day. They shut down for 4 hours or for 3 hours to do maintenance on it, but it's available. It's usually at night. So I've never encountered trying to log in and it's not available. It's extremely easy to use. Once you register, it really is as simple as logging into your bank account. And in fact, you can use your bank account information. So you will log with your, like, a, let's say you're with CIBC, you'll key in your card, your bank password, and off you go. And it's very, very fast. It has all of the information that exists on you when your tax return was processed, all of the copies of your prior notice of assessment, the balances in your RRSP, TFSAs, your previous loss carry forwards, tuitions, information, everything. It is actually very, very good. Some people are really worried about the security of their data, though, because I believe last year, or maybe 2 years ago, CRA had a breach, and they have significantly stepped up their security. It is a really high level of online protection. They use the same technology as the one that used by banks and financial institutions. So your data is fully secure.
And, you know, I think that would bring comfort to a lot of people. You know, I don't necessarily like to upload a whole lot of information on some sites that, you know, I'd be interested in ordering from. But I think I have a great deal of confidence in CRA and the banks. Like, Canadian banks, I think, are probably pretty stellar in their security. So if CRA has security matching the banks, then that's a really good sign for Canadians. How easy is it to register for my account with CRA?
It's pretty easy, but it requires a little bit of advanced planning. I think everything with tax requires a little bit of advanced planning. In order to register, you need to have your latest personal tax return ready. And this is because CRA will want to authenticate you by asking you some questions based on the tax return you filed most recently. You see, they make sure that you are you, and it's not somebody else trying to set up an account for you. So once you authenticate yourself, you will be allowed to see limited amount of information about you. And the reason for it is because CRA uses two-step authentication system. So after you enter the information from your tax return, they will then mail you a special code to the address that they have on file. They're not asking you anything except, I believe, your zip code or postal code. And then you, within about 10 days, you will receive this tiny envelope with one page in it. It's a white page saying your code is so-and-so. And it's an alphanumeric code that you need to enter next time you log into their portal. So once you do that, and they give you a pretty good window, like 2 months to do that. So it's not, don't worry if you miss, because in the past it was something like a 2 week window, and sometimes Canada Post wasn't fast enough. So they've allowed a wider window. Once you authenticate yourself with that code, you can throw out that code. That's it. You have been, CRA is sure that you are you and not an imposter.
Okay. That's a fairly secure two-step process, and it sounds like it should give people a great deal of confidence in creating this account with CRA. So what other, besides creating the account, you know, sort of setting up a schedule, preparing, putting all of your tax documents in a file folder somewhere, what else would you recommend a person to do?
I highly, highly encourage everyone to set up direct deposit to avoid missing checks. You wouldn't believe how many people still receive checks, which takes time for Canada Post to deliver it, CRA to issue it. And then if it's lost, it's very, very difficult to reinstate it. And the reason why it's difficult to reinstate it, because as some of you may be aware, Canada Revenue checks are what's called evergreen. So they never go stale. Normal checks, if you don't cash them within 6 months period, that's it. They cannot be cashed. CRA is different. They do not, their checks do not go stale. So in order for them to reissue it, they need to figure out what happened to the first check, then cancel it, then reissue. That takes quite a bit of time.
I can imagine. I can imagine with the millions of checks they produce, it would definitely be a time-consuming, labor-intensive task. Okay, so direct deposit. Anything else you can suggest for our listeners?
When you're considering your tax returns, we were talking about some what we call old school people. Some people tend to file the returns on paper. It's a little bit harder in COVID times, to be honest with you, because CRA is also working on limited staff. Not too many people are in the office. So if you actually mail your paper copy of the return, it will really be a while until you receive it or until it's processed. So what I highly encourage people to do is to e-file. E-filing is really best known for the fast refunds. And the reason for it is because when we e-file, we, in essence, post your tax return directly into CRA records. Then all CRA has to do is really to make sure it matches the record that they have on file. As I mentioned, T4, T5 information, whatever slips they have. And if it matches, all they do is issue a notice of assessment. So that eliminates the possibility of package being lost in the mail, the time that it takes CRA to process it, and you really get your refund significantly faster. And I would like to preempt your question regarding audit risk for e-filing. Some people think that the likelihood of an audit is higher with e-filed returns. There is really no basis for this. CRA usually audits because something in the return isn't right. For example, you missed to include some income, or they're questioning a deduction that you claimed. I mean, I've been practicing for over 25 years. Random audits rarely happen.
Okay. So something would have queued in at on the CRA side that said, look, we've got to check this out. Let's do an audit.
Exactly.
So registering for direct deposit, because we talked about that. How easy and how do you go about registering for direct deposit with CRA?
It's supremely easy. Of course, if you are registered for my account, you can do it straight from there. You log in. There is a link saying direct deposit. You key in your information, which is really from your check. You can take any check, and at the bottom of the check, you have pre-printed information. CRA, my account, tells you which number to put where. Ta-da, you're done. But if you don't have my account yet, but still want to register, you can do it by mail, just sending them a void check with your social insurance number, or by calling CRA directly. Mind you, now is not a good thing or not a good time to do it. A few days ago, I was on hold for over 2 hours. So I would highly recommend doing it either by mail or by through my account. And in the past, you could also set it up through those paper filed returns, but CRA no longer accepts it. They can accept it if you e-file your return, then your preparer can key in that information and transmit, but they're trying to shy away from paper as much as possible.
Sure. Yeah, I can see that. So talking about, you know, we've talked about how to e-file and the benefits of that and some of the things that people can do to make the process not as intimidating and a little bit more organized. What are some of the most common mistakes that people make on their taxes?
I'm so glad you asked this question. It's a huge question, though. It's not, you know, it's not a very easy one to answer. But there is a whole slew of standard things, more, you know, common things that people do that I have noticed in my career. And some of them are minor and some of them are much bigger. Making a mistake on your tax return can mean that it takes longer to CRA to review your tax return or for you to get the tax refund. It also elevates the chance of review of an audit of your file. But just to give you a flavor of what are the mistakes that I've seen, half the time people do not keep their personal information up to date. So that would be the address or there's, you know, changes to social insurance number. It especially happens when a person used to be a temporary resident and now became a permanent resident or something like that. You're required by law to tell CRA about any changes, your marriage, your date of marriage, date of divorce, things like that. So this has been the bane of my existence, I would say. Another thing is really not reporting all income. That's a no-brainer, I suppose. People don't always think CRA will catch that, but CRA is very, very sophisticated. So if you're working in a restaurant, and most people in a restaurant receive tips, gratuities, you know, they will know about it. They would expect that you include something for tips and gratuities. If you do some freelancing or contract work, they do expect you to include that. Income from what I call sharing economy. So that would be Uber or Lyft or Airbnb. This is actually has been quite a big thing. Any online business that you have, like selling on Etsy or on eBay, needs to be included and reported as your income. And in many, many cases, people do not believe they need to include their, or they don't know that they need to include their foreign income. So like a pension or income from investments outside of Canada. And believe me, CRA knows about it. So if you don't include it, it might catch up with you.
So getting back to the things you sell online, but you're talking more specifically about in the course of business or earning an income, as opposed to you found an old lamp that you don't want anymore and you're going to sell it on eBay or something like that.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. So if you want to sell an old something or something that you use and you don't do it frequently, you are that's not an income. However, there has been what CRA calls mega sellers. So that's people that actually trade quite actively. And there's been a major court case with eBay and possibly Amazon to release this information to CRA to actually report who are the mega sellers. That made a major uproar about 5 years ago when it just came out. People were not reporting it, and it because they thought that they can CRA cannot get this information. Unfortunately, this is not the case, and CRA can definitely get this information from other sources too. So not including it is really not an option. But what is an option, and I don't like to see it, is missing or not supporting expense claims. So sometimes when you're self-employed, you would make certain deductions on your tax return saying that this is the expenses that I incurred. If you miss those expenses, obviously you overpay tax. But if you have unsupported expenses, then CRA will likely deny them. And there is also, I've had situations where people would misclassify. It's a little bit of a gray zone where is this a personal expense or is it a business expense? I'll give you an example to explain. The expense needs to clearly relate to business. So if you're an insurance agent, you cannot expense shampoo because it doesn't relate to your business. But on the other hand, if you're a hairdresser, shampoo is direct input into his or her work. So things like that are generally what we discuss with my clients when we're filing business type expenses or business statements. Mind you, the same situation is with any deduction. So if you claimed charitable donation, you need to make sure that you have the slip because some donations are donations but not charitable. So then you're not allowed to claim the tax credit. And the same is with, let's say, tuition slips. You may have paid for some educational courses, but if that organization is not registered with HRDC, they're not entitled to give the special form T2202A. And it also means that you cannot take that deduction.
Okay. So how long should people hang on to their receipts for?
Technically, you cannot dispose of your receipts until at least 6 years from the date you filed your tax return. If you would like to destroy any documents earlier, you can ask permission from Revenue Canada, and they usually do. What you need to do is just send them a letter saying your name, your social insurance number, what kind of documents you're proposing to destroy, and for which years. Usually CRA doesn't go beyond 3 years to review your taxes. However, in certain cases, if they believe that there has been a serious misstatement in prior years, they will go beyond the 3 years and they have the right to do so. Generally, I recommend to keep all receipts for at least 6 years.
So, and we didn't talk about this before, but one of the things that I've noticed in having a business is that a lot of my receipts were printed on thermal paper. Thermal paper, the ink on it can fade over time. What happens then?
You're absolutely right. It's a problem. I've encountered it time and time again. There is really no solution for it, except I recommend my clients to scan their documents. So if you're a business owner and you have a lot of paper, you really don't want to store all of this paper. So you can always scan it, again, photograph it. It takes a little bit of organization, but there's special portals and software that actually help you do that. CRA is fully open, which actually surprised me. They do allow electronic storage. A number of years ago, they actually wanted you to ask for permission. And I still recommend my clients to send a letter officially requesting a permission to keep those documents in electronic format. I haven't seen any issues with CRA whenever somebody didn't ask for it. In fact, with my account, and it's equivalent to my business account, quite often you upload documents in electronic format anyways, so they're not even looking for paper copies.
Okay. That's a really good suggestion and something that can counter that problem with the thermal paper. I would have never thought of that. Take a picture of it or scan it in or, you know, keep an electronic copy of it some way, somehow. So if somebody owes money and they can't afford to pay it all right away, should they still file the return or wait until there's enough money?
I always say that you should file it on time, even if you cannot pay it all, or maybe you can pay in parts. This way, you will also avoid late filing penalty and you will establish a good record with CRA, because CRA doesn't, what they're afraid is that you skip town, right? If you're not filing your tax return, they don't know where you are. If you do need a special payment plan, it can be arranged by calling CRA and discussing your situation with them directly. In certain circumstances, CRA can grant relief from penalty and interest. I have never seen CRA disallow a payment plan. After all, it's better for both if you pay in part than not pay at all, don't you think?
I would think so. And, you know, a few times in my life, I've had to deal with CRA, and I have always found them to be accommodating, you know, really pleasant, professional, mature folks that I've spoken with. So I, you know, if somebody is concerned about that, CRA is really not as intimidating as you might think.
They're definitely less intimidating than IRS if you've ever dealt with them.
You know what? I've heard stories about IRS, and I think I'm just as happy to be in Canada. Thanks.
I agree.
So after the tax return has been filed, what can a person expect?
So the next step would be to sit back and wait for a notice of assessment. CRA will issue it once they receive it and processed it. Generally, this part of this phase of your tax compliance, I call hurry up and wait. It usually takes CRA between 4 and 8 weeks to assess your returns. However, there is a new feature that CRA offers to those who are registered for online mail. You can get your notice of assessment shortly after you file tax return by using the Express Notice of Assessment service. It's not a full thing, but they can give you like a snapshot that this is how your notice of assessment will look like. It's a great, great service, especially if you're in a rush. Some people apply for mortgages, for example, and their bank is waiting for a notice of assessment. This is a great way to get it and have their file moving.
Right. That's a very good point, because I mean, technology is great for speed in these issues. And, you know, like we said before, CRA is a pretty secure system. Well, Natalie, you have given us a great deal of good advice, from putting your documents, you know, all your tax documents in a file somewhere, whether it's a physical file or an electronic file, or, you know, for somebody like you, they can upload their documents to your portal, to preparing it, get set up with My Account, get set up with direct deposit, keep track of your expenses if you're a business, and you have receipts that may fade over time, take an electronic copy of them. Like, holy cow, so many things that you have given our listeners and so much good advice. Is there anything else you would like to add?
Well, don't be afraid of filing your taxes. It's not very onerous, especially if you have somebody good on your side helping you, a professional. It's much simpler if a professional is on your side. They will make sure that you claim all of the deductions. They will make sure that you don't miss any of the income or of any special situation, special clauses. Highly, highly recommend you to connect with a tax professional in your area, or because we're now, most of us are sitting at home, we're in a lockdown, you can always do it from the comfort of your home using taxwelldone.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Natalie. And besides taxwelldone.com, how else can people get in touch with you?
I can always be reached by email, Natalie@taxwelldone.com, or by phone, 416-895-7749.
And we'll have all of that contact information when this podcast goes live on the website. So thank you again, Natalie, for joining us today and expressing your enthusiasm for taxes. I may even remove the word onerous from my vocabulary when thinking about taxes.
We'll assign it to some other.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you again, everybody, for listening in. This podcast is sponsored by Custom Plan Financial Advisors, an excellent independent brokerage firm. You can find them right across the country. My name is Darlene, and I hope you guys have a great day. Thank you.
The views expressed here are those of the participants and not those of Custom Plan Financial Advisors, Inc., its affiliates, or subsidiaries. This is not intended to serve as a complete analysis of every material fact regarding any company, industry, or security. This presentation may contain forward-looking statements. Investors are cautioned not to place undue reliance on such statements, as actual results could vary. This site and podcasts are for general information purposes only and does not constitute investment advice and is not intended as an endorsement of any specific investment product or service. Individual investors should consult with an investment professional about their personal situation. Past performance is not indicative of future results. If you are unsure about what is the best course of action for you in your financial planning, then we suggest you consult a fee-based independent financial advisor or get in touch with us to discuss your individual situation. Our phone number is 604-687-7773.